Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Marie, who, in addition to being a long-time part of the Sangha, is also our very talented graphic designer. So anything you see that comes from Living Compassion that has any kind of look and feel to it, say on the web or in emails or printed material, has all gone through Marie's hands before it gets to you. And this evening, she's joined us to talk about the very new newsletter that's coming out each month. You should have gotten the first edition of it on January 1st in your inbox. She and Ashwini have been hard at work on this for, I think, several months now, and she's here to join us this evening to talk about that. So welcome, Marie.
Hi, Jan.
I'm right. This is many, many months in the process, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we have been working on it for a few months. Yeah, we have. So it's really exciting for it to finally be out there.
Oh, a lot of diligent care and sort of foundational work put into it. So
yeah, it was really fun.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say it was really fun for me to get it in my inbox, you know, instead of, you know, be working on it, just to have it come as an email.
Exactly, yep. So I wonder if you could start by telling us a little bit about how it came to be.
Sure. Well, I think we've always wanted to have a newsletter, and from what I understand, there's been attempts at different times, and it seems like that it was hard to maintain, you know, to sustain the newsletters we've done in the past, and so we really wanted to have a newsletter that symbolized practice, that was beautiful and you know, a visual experience of practice. And to also have a process for creating and sustaining it that would illustrate practice.
Mm.
And so we were lucky to have Ashwini here with us, and she helped really pull together the vision for this new newsletter that I think does all these things.
Yeah, it really does. And it's perfect, isn't it, for this year of deepening practice, in that
Yeah. There's
a movement afoot that everything we do will be practice. And it always has been, but there's a way in which, I mean, I've heard rumors that you all are also working on the website, and same thing there, to really have everything, the monthly newsletter that comes out, the website, be an experience of practice.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the underlying principle behind that, Jen, is also to have the process of creating it to be a kind and compassionate process for all of us who are working on it. And, you know, I think we've come up with a way to do that.
Yeah. Well, yes, as someone who contributes to it, that's definitely my experience, that it's very well put together, and what we're asked to do for it has very reasonable timelines and that sort of thing. So that does seem right, doesn't it, that all the way along it would be practice, not just the end result that goes out to Sangha, but everything about it that goes into it would also be practice, because you can feel that, can't you, when you receive it? You can feel that it comes from a place of love and compassion.
Yeah, you know, I think so. And, Jen, one of the things we've really wanted to do is have a way for people to be able to hear, you know, regularly from the guide, Sherry, and the monks.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, you all are the people who have devoted your lives to practicing and offering practice to all of us, and, you know, essentially the heart of practice. But what goes with that is rich and full lives, maintaining a monastery, offering retreats, you know, keeping the kitchen going. And so we wanted to come up with a process that would allow some really good contributions of writings and from the monks and Sherry, but to also flow with what's happening in everyone's lives.
Yes, yes. And it occurs to me as you say that it's also an honoring of, yes, there are a core group of people who are physically here at sort of the center, the mothership, we sometimes call it, of practice. And having this communication go out monthly is a recognition that there are increasing numbers of people who are also putting practice at the center of their lives, who are bringing their entire life into practice. And this is a way to have all of us be able to share practice. It's really embodied, isn't it, in the piece that Sherry wrote for the newsletter this month, which is, essentially, this is our practice. We're practicing. It's not just the practice of the monks or of the guide, but it's our practice. It belongs to the entire Sangha.
Yeah, yeah, that's really true. It does belong to all of us, and I feel like, you know, the newsletter helps connect all of us because, you know, I'm in Georgia, so all of us out here, connect us more with the monastery and all that goes on there so we can become more a part of it.
Right, right. And as you say, do that in a sustainable way. You know, it'd be great if everyone could be here all day and we could all, you know, at the end of the day, debrief on what happened, but that's a little bit unmanageable. So here's this monthly template, this way to bring out the highlights and have everyone included in the news of what's going on.
Yeah. And it feels like we've come up with a compassionate, kind way to pull this together and for it to be, you know, to offer an experience of practice to everyone who received it.
I wonder if you might walk us through the elements of the newsletter.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, it starts with a heading, and one of the lucky things being a designer for the monastery is that the images from the monastery and from Africa are always so beautiful that it's fairly easy to come up with a way, you know, to a beautiful way to illustrate that.
Mm. Yeah.
And so we started with a visual image of, you know, practice and what some things that illustrate practice. And then we start with a section from the guide where Sherry will write something to the Sangha each month. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, this first one was stellar, beautifully written.
Yeah.
Very inspiring,
yeah.
I thought.
Mm-hmm. And so then we have the Monk's Corner, and that's a place where we can hear from the different monks each month. So it's going to rotate through the different monks doing write-ups for us, and what they're looking at is just whatever they're seeing in practice that they would like to share with the Sangha.
Yeah, which is really, really, I know it's fun for us. I'm excited to write when it's my turn. And as you say, a neat way to have people, I project what it will be is for people to see, oh, you know, we're all practicing with the same things. We're all in this together. So that's really fun.
Yeah, because the monks are often facilitated by the monks, but it's really nice to get a chance to you know, read about what they're seeing in their own practice.
Yeah, and maybe a little glimpse into what it's like to live, to practice in a monastic way.
Right, yeah. And so then we also have a section on the Africa Project, and I'm really excited about that section because, you know, we over the years we've had the blogs and we get really nice visual reports from the program and what's going on in Zambia. But this section is written more, as you know, from a viewpoint of service as practice.
Yeah. And it's true. I am particularly enthusiastic about this section in that I get to write it. And it is a really nice chance to both for me to look and for to share with Sangha how it's not different. You know, it's not that we're practicing here at the monastery in the United States and then we go to Africa to do service, but that service is practice, practice is service. It's all one, and it's a nice sort of place to get to explore that.
Yeah, and it kind of illustrates how everything is practice.
It really does, yeah.
And then the kitchen corner is a lot of fun. So we'll have something from some of the cooks at the monastery who are also monks. And I think this time we have a recipe. It's actually one of my favorite things on retreat. So now I'm going to get to make it at home.
Yeah, I love that. So it's June soup. And I love,
yeah.
I don't know if this is going to be a regular feature, but so it had the recipe and then at the bottom it had a health tip, which I thought was so great. Just a little sort of tip of here's something we consider at the monastery as we're making meals and, you know, passing that information on to other folks in the Sangha.
Yeah, I like that too. And then we have the monastery wall, and that section I'm really excited about because I just like to see images from the monastery a lot,
yeah.
Especially when I'm not there.
Right, that's true.
So we have Alex working on that section, and he's going to be taking photographs from around the monastery and writing, doing little write-ups about those photos.
And the images are stunning in this edition, just breathtaking.
Yeah, they really are.
Especially
really are.
There's one that let's see, it says this, the view from the back porch at breakfast en route to the rack. How difficult to have your breath taken away if attention has been stolen by a story. Such a good illustration. You know, I'm just going to take the towel out and hang it on the rack. But when we're paying attention, there's just glory and beauty everywhere. And this photo, I hope people will go check it out. It's just beautiful. Stunning.
Yeah. Yeah. And so are all the others.
Yeah.
I love that section. And then we have a small section, usually we hope to have a section on, you know, just whatever's going on. And so this time we're focusing on the deepening practice events that we have coming up in January and February.
Huh. You know, the other thing I love about it, Marie, is it feels like it's sustainable for the recipient as well, because we're not the only ones here at the monastery who lead busy lives. I have a feeling just about everyone in the Sangha can say the same. And it's short. We purposefully have kept the articles to a certain word limit so that people can get a sense of what's going on without, you know, so much information that it feels like, you know, that's just too much. I can't read that. There aren't tons of photos. There's a few photos. There's small captions. So it really gives a flavor of what's going on and a feel for Sangha without being, you know, a whole other thing that's going to take hours to read.
Yeah, because that was one of the ideas that we had about it, if we wanted it to be really simple, and yeah, exactly what you said. I don't know if I could say it better, but you know, to be able to, it's not going to take you hours to read it, you know, but you can actually get a little practice experience and some information and see what's going on at the monastery without a lot of a complicated, you know, looking at a complicated email.
Yes, exactly. Yep. So, Marie, we're up against the clock. Anything else you want to say about it before we end?
I don't think that's it. I'm just really excited about it, so I hope everyone will enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed working on it.
Well, I've enjoyed doing the writing for it and really, really, as you said, enjoyed receiving it in my inbox. And I can't thank you enough for, I know, the hours and hours and hours of work that both you and Ashwini put into it. It is a beautiful product. I think it really, really does represent practice. So thank you for that and for all you do.
Thank you, Jan.
Thanks for being on tonight. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Bye.
So, Michael, we'll turn it over to you. Have a great show.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Marie. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
How are you? I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Just finished a great retreat.
Yeah.
And loved it, loved it. And I, too, got my newsletter in my inbox and found it quite thrilling and beautiful. So I was pleased to hear them talking about that tonight.
Yes. Yes. I loved it myself. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I have some announcements here.
Oh, it must be the new year. We have announcements.
Yes. Sunday, January 29th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's Pacific time, a conversation with the guide. This is a live webcast workshop with you, Sherry, the monks, and Sangha.
Yes.
Where all in the Sangha are invited to discuss the roles we play as stewards of practice, why we make the commitment, and what we encounter as we journey on this path.
Huh. And then you and I get to make our contribution.
Yes, the next Tuesday, January 31st, from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, new 2012 practice offerings. And this is a special two-hour open-air radio show with you, Sherry, the monks, and Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll...
And you.
Yes. And we'll discuss ways to participate in supporting practice and ask any questions folks might have about aspects of the program.
Mm.
And then February 3rd through 21st, this is a facilitated exploration of practice commitments, a three-week email class with you, Sherry, to facilitate making and supporting practice commitments, resulting in creating a deepening practice plan.
A calendar for the year.
Yes.
Isn't that fun?
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
and people can
I like it.
Read. Yes, me too. I'm very excited about it. And people can read more by going to the Living Compassion homepage, which is www.livingcompassion.org, or on the schedule page.
Yeah, and Michael, do you know if the calendar for the year is up yet, the schedule for the year?
I do not. I have not looked recently.
Okay, we'll have to find out, because if it's not, then certainly it will be before very long, because that has been our ambition this year, and if it hasn't been fulfilled already, it will be soon, to have everything that we're doing up on the up on the website, so that people really can look through and pick the various things at different seasons and like that they want to participate in. So it's not that, you know, for so long we were only able to get information out, you know, 3 months, maybe at the most 6 months in advance, and that makes it hard for people to plan their year, time off work and away from family and all of that. So this year we should go all the way through Santa Sabina, and people can decide what they want to participate in and get signed up for it. Yeah.
Great. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
And here we go.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Rochelle from North Carolina.
Well, hello, Rochelle. How are you?
Hi. I am doing well. It's quite cold here recently, these past few days, feeling like winter. Yeah, I'm doing well.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I had been trying to call in a couple of times and had not been able to get on. What has happened is that I actually have made arrangements to kind of have a year off from work. I've resigned from one job and will do something different starting next year. But for some health reasons and just reasons to refocus, I had planned to take some time off. And my and part of it stems from practice and what we've been doing with email class and things like that. But I realized that what I was doing was not kind to myself. And once I started dropping stories and stuff, I needed to kind of rethink where I'm going in the future. And so my calls to you, or trying to get on, was to ask for guidance about how or how I should go about trying to structure this so that I have deep in practice and don't lose focus and have some support structure there. And I participate in the reflective listening calls and the email classes and really anything that y'all provide, and had planned to do a retreat. However, while I was waiting to get on and to ask this question, the 1 week I was waiting, Jen and I can't remember the other lady's name, were discussing the plans for the Sangha for 2012. And it's like I'm asking a question and there's already an answer waiting out there for me. It's just eerie. I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh, I want to ask for help on how to structure 2012, and there's already in development in the works structure about deepening practice and a video workshop and a 2-hour open air and the email class and structured in a way to help me kind of focus. And so I was asking for help, and meanwhile, help was being developed. And it's like, wow, this is wonderful.
It's really perfect, isn't it?
It is perfect.
I love that. Somebody on the retreat that we just finished, somebody was talking about that thing that we talk about in practice with some regularity about it can sound egocentric, but it doesn't come from egocentricity. It comes from a place of gratitude that when we wake up, as you're describing, we realize that, wow, all of life is arranged for me. You know, all this stuff is in place for me. When it's difficult, and I look at it that way, I realize these are all the issues that I need to address in order to be free. And then when things are going really well in the way that you're describing, that kind of miraculous, wow. I mean, are people staying up all night making plans for my life to work perfectly? It can certainly seem that way.
Oh, I tell you, it is such a good feeling. It's like, okay, I, you know, have these. And the other thing about it is that, you know, I thought, oh, I'm alone and I have to worry about support and ask for help and things like that. And it's already in the works for me. And it's almost like you can relax. It's
you can relax.
Yeah, that it'll be okay, that there'll be practice to support you. And then there's a sangha that's also looking at that. And so for me personally, I've been saying, okay, 2012, the year that everything changed. And and it's kind of like the sangha's like, yeah, this is not just me. This is the bigger thing, and I'm a part of
it.
And
we're riding the wave.
We're riding the wave. And so I am just ecstatic. And so those times I was trying to call with a question and request for help, the help is already on its way and coming, and I'm just excited about everything that I'm hearing about what's going on in the Sangha and what's going on at the monastery, and I'm just excited and thrilled to have an opportunity to kind of look at where I am and where things are going and kind of restructure some things around practice and being kind, compassionate, and aware of what's going on. And so I'm very excited about this.
Yes, and with that, it just reminds me of something, because what you're expressing is an awareness that this is a Sangha thing. And I think it is big. You know, it's not just us as individuals. It really is big Sangha movement. And again, on the retreat that we were just on, people would talk about how the voices would say, but you don't belong. You know, you don't fit in. You're not like those other people, which is a very common, what would we say, weapon that karmic conditioning uses against people, trying to make people feel like everybody else is doing something, but you can't really be a part of that. And what you just expressed, I want to underline, because it's true. We are Sangha, and there is support for all of us all the time. And all we need to do when the voices start getting to us is say no to them and reach out. So whether it's, you know, picking up the phone to call in, or, you know, having, as you mentioned, the reflective listening buddies, doing the at-home things for people who are far away, and then making a plan to actually physically get together on a retreat, that sort of thing, but always to keep it at the front of our awareness that as Sangha is there for me, I want to be there for Sangha, because as much as I need other people to support me, other people need me to support them, and it's good to keep in mind.
It sounds phenomenal, and I know it's a tremendous amount of work that goes into it. And yeah, I will show up, and yeah, there's the voices and stuff, but I
don't listen to them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here if I listened to them anyway. So kind of sometimes when the voices are making a big fuss, I'm like, oh wow, I must be doing something right.
Right. they're really upset. I'm on the right track here.
I greatly appreciate it, and deep gassho to everybody in the Sangha. I'm so excited about this, and I will be in touch.
All right. Good. Thanks for calling. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, dear. We're saying hello to each other, but Michael isn't saying hello to us. Who's this?
Yeah. Oh no. This seems to always happen to me.
Is this
Andrea?
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
Very strange. Well, I hope Michael will join us soon. What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on with me is, well, I decided to call after talking to you a couple weeks ago, and I'm hearing all the stuff in my head about, boy, should we talk about what we were talking about before and kind of debating what the right thing is to talk about? So that's what's going on right in the minute.
I have to tell you this thing has nothing to do with anything except I just loved it. I was reading this afternoon some Japanese Zen master poetry, and this fellow was talking. He lives in a little hut, you know, just bamboo hut with thatched roof out in the middle of nowhere, and for company he has the sound of water dripping off of the eaves of this little hut, and so he was talking about what that's like and to be alone so much and how sometimes it's lonely. But then if he feels lonely, he lights a lantern and debates right and wrong with his silhouette. And I thought, well, that's kind of like the original two chair exercise.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So there you are. Now, shall we talk about this? Shall we talk about that? It's kind of that debating with the silhouette in our minds. What did you get to while I was telling you that story?
Well, what I got to for myself is, you know, it's the I'm not doing it right process, constantly second guessing no matter what I do. You know, like everything I do with the class, the email class, or, you know, whatever I'm doing, it's always there assessing.
Yes. Oh, so you got the last assignment, right, with the assessing?
Oh, I did. I did. And, and oh, yeah, you know, definitely noticed assessing. Yeah.
Assessing and comparing. That's what it's doing all the time. Because it has to do that, because otherwise it's so obvious that there's nothing going on. There's nothing wrong. There is no problem. We're just here, alive. And it's really glorious to be alive, and it's really beautiful wherever we are all the time. And that really doesn't prop up an illusion of separation from life. So then we fall into the habit of allowing the voices in our heads to assess and judge and compare and lament and regret and threaten and hold out impossible ideals and change standards on us and all of those activities that go on in conditioned mind.
Yeah, you know, and it just takes everything. Like what we were talking about before was I want to reach out to people, and your guidance was, you know, just be in the present moment. And, in, you know, and ego.
And what was the second part of what I said?
And be really interested in what the other person is saying.
There you go.
Yeah, and then, of course, ego comes in and assesses, oh, am I being interested enough in what they're saying? You know, it's just like tries to hijack everything.
Yeah, there's an expression by, I think, one of those Taoist chaps about that what we're doing is finding the exact center, I imagine you could say, of life, of the moment, or whatever. Find yourself in the exact center of everything, and then forget that you're there.
Oh, boy. I'm glad I'm recording this, because I'm going to have to think about, listen to this again.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, what you're suspecting. You know, I can't really be present to you if I'm listening to a voice assessing whether or not I'm present to you.
Exactly.
So what we're going for is to be so completely absorbed in what the other person is doing that you forget that there's anything going on about you. It's, you know, it's why we practice reflective listening, right? Because there you are on a reflective listening buddy's call, and you're so absorbed by what your buddy is saying, because you're reflecting. You don't have to come up with anything. You don't have to be clever or cute or skillful or anything else. You're just listening and being present to and reflecting the other person. So it's that kind of process, only just with colleagues and people in stores and on the street and wherever you go.
Well, that's so funny because, yeah, that's totally true. When I'm doing the reflective listening calls, I am, you know, I don't feel self-conscious at all.
There you go. Now you got your technique.
That's interesting. So maybe pretend like it's a reflective listening call.
That's right.
Something like that.
You'll just be a facilitator at large, going around in life.
Way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Could be fun. Great practice.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll have to sit with that and also.
No, practice with it.
Yeah, I mean practice with it, and also practice with being there to mentor myself to actually do the initial reaching out, because that's what's the scariest, is to actually reach out and to make the phone call or to.
Yeah,
say hello.
But here's the deal. Don't let them set you up with some sort of contest. You know, just talk to the person in the elevator. Talk to the clerk in the store, the person that you're standing next to at the bus stop or whatever it is. You know, just reflect. Just engage. Just as a naturally there, present, open, friendly person. Yeah, and then if there's something called reaching out that happens, it'll just happen naturally. It won't get turned into a big deal, because that's how karmic conditioning gets us. It's when it makes things into a big deal.
Yeah, well, what conditioning says is, oh, you know, they might not be interested, they might reject you, or, you know, that's
mm-hmm. That's right, they might. But if there is no you, if this is just about them and you having a chance to be present with them and reflect them, then it'll be obvious that the rejection doesn't have anything to do with you. That, in fact, there's no such thing as rejection.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry.
Keep me posted, huh? This is a very, very thrilling sort of a program you're on here.
Yeah, it is. And I just wanted to let you know, too, that I'm finally doing Unconditional Self-Acceptance, the CD.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
The Retreat in a Box?
Yeah, the Retreat in a Box. Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, and it's really good. Emotionally moving.
Oh, good. Good. I of course, I don't even know what's in that thing anymore, but I hear it's good, so I'm pleased about that.
Yeah. So, you know, to echo the previous caller, just trying to use as many different aspects of.
Yeah, taking advantage of all the opportunities that we have, huh? Something every day. Good. All right, well, let me know.
Okay, Sherry. Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Michael.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My apologies, Sherry. I was muted before and was unaware of that.
You were probably talking away, not able to figure out what was going on.
Yes,
I know that
exactly.
Feeling very well.
Yes.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here as well. Thank you. And we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Next caller. Moving on. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Lisa in Oakland.
Hi.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
What's going on?
Well, I've been doing the email class, and first I wanted to say, I haven't said it out loud, but I have a commitment to call in every 2 months. Yeah, and I've been doing it, but I never said it out loud, so now I'm making it formal. With the caveat that if I get a beating for calling in, either what after I do it or what I listen to it, that it's 6 weeks.
Oh, very good. Very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so that it just goes to the calendar, you know.
Good.
And it
sounds like you've got something going on with your nose.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. and they didn't try to tell you you're too sick to call in?
They did. They did. I'm not even feeling sick. I have something. I sound sick. Yeah, so they did, but it's on the calendar. And it's actually, I've been trying for a few weeks and I haven't. Yeah, I just had to call it anyway.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
And so you're in the email class.
And I've just loved it. That last assignment, I mean, I think maybe every assignment's my favorite once I get it, you know, but that last one, I just, you know, because the voices start going, but what about this? But what about that? But you need this. You have to assess that. And then it's just practice. It's just 2 days. You just practice with it. And then every morning I've been recommitting to it. And it just leaves me feeling so open, you know. It's really moving, you know.
Yes.
And yet I've been able to do my job. You know, I've been able to show the things I need to do, you know. I've been able to answer people when they talk to me. You know, I don't know what, you know, all those things that I wasn't going to be able to do without assessing and without comparing. I seem
don't
to be able to
do. Don't you just love that? Don't you just love it? I mean, to really have the proof from your own experience that all that stuff that it's threatening with, it's just nonsense. It is simply not true. In fact, you're more present, more capable, competent, efficient, effective than you've ever were, giving all of your attention to those voices, trying to make you afraid every step of the way.
Right. Yeah, I think with the last call, maybe I related a lot to that. And you were both talking about that being present. You know, and I just want to, all of a sudden I got nervous, but I actually didn't call about class four. I'm calling about class three, and I was encouraged by you to call about class three.
Because
I thought I found a new sub-personality, and you thought maybe it was self-hate.
Ah, okay. Give me some details.
So the details were, and it's actually, it was great. I didn't read. Somehow I got on to, actually I got spooked by the end of the class three assignment and started doing class four and sort of forgot about it. So when I read your email, which I'll explain, it was sort of like, yes. And I went back and re-listened to all my recordings. And so I just wrote that it was my experience. And then I had quickly thought of these examples where I had persevered and just slowly moved towards something, and it had been so rewarding. And I thought of two different examples, and one was where there was almost no self-hate, and that would be meditation. I'm one of those people who started with 2 minutes. I just felt like, yes, 2 minutes. That's amazing. You know, and it's just been, the whole process has been pretty beautiful, very little self-hate for me in comparison, you know, and then writing. I struggle with writing, but I've been in academia, and so that's something I've persevered through, and there's an enormous amount of self-hate and voices and struggle with that. So I started working with those two examples, and then I came across just what I thought was maybe a sub-personality that I called the brat, just like a no, like I am not doing this. And then what I wrote in my thing is I started working with her, and then everything stopped. You know, like all practice stopped, all of it, even meditation. And you had thought that maybe I had run into not a sub-personality.
Yeah. Because, you know, the kind of the standard, I'm sure you know this, but I'll say it anyway, because there's somebody out there who doesn't know this. The standard way that we find out who's who is that if it really is a sub-personality, and it doesn't mean that we aren't going to run into what we would at first glance be tempted to call brat, subpersonality, snarly teenagers or that sort of thing. So sometimes we do have to put some effort and energy into getting to know them and gaining their trust and that sort of thing, just exactly as we would need to do if it were a real child who had a hard time and didn't have a lot of trust for adults or anybody else, and we would have to put the energy into that relationship. But if that child, especially a child, you know, a teenager can hold out a lot longer than a little person. And if that little person just stays in a, no, I'm not going to, then that's where I start thinking, you know, that's not a real child. Because a real child, sooner or later, is going to give in, because what the child wants is the attention and care, and it wants the relationship. Might still act out and, you know, push limits and all of that sort of thing, but wants the relationship. The one that you're describing sounds like just simply wants all the energy. And that's a hallmark of karmic conditioning. So that's why I don't know if it was with you, because I think a couple of people wrote in these kinds of things. But I said, you know, I would say to that person, you're welcome to come to me anytime, but I'm not going off with you.
Right, and that's what you did write me. And then today I went and I listened through all the recordings. It was interesting. I'd done a lot of recording before I stopped, and I moved on to the next assignment. And there was me starting to record about the writing and meditation. And then there was solid advice from the mentor when I came up against the resistance. Like, well, we're just doing recording and listening. There isn't any writing. You don't have to write right now, because I'm trying to stay with each part of the assignment, because I found that I was starting to think about what I was going to write before I practiced, you know, and so I've been really practicing with that, like, just so I'm just recording right now. Now I'm just listening. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to write. And so there was, the mentor was saying things that sounded comforting and valuable. And then there was me who started to get more confused. And then I guess I turned the recorder over to self-hate. And so I have this recording that does not sound like a subpersonality, you know, saying things just like words, like anger, fear. A part of me doesn't want to be here. Building a wall, not letting anything in. Like those sort of things, you know. Even the words, it said the words projection, judgment, just out loud. And I think there might also be a subpersonality there, a little 5-year-old who may also, who just wants to feel safe. And part of the age I was when I started to learn how to read. But it's not the brat. It actually just feels fearful and feels left alone. In fact, there was a recording from somebody who said they wanted somebody to set limits with them in a kind way, but not a hateful way.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that little 5-year-old, if you say, you know, just come and sit with me. I'm going to do whatever it is. Come and be with me. Come and sit with me. She's going to do it because she wants your attention. And probably has very, when it comes right down to it, has very few needs other than to be brought in close to you, have your attention, feel loved, accepted, and she's content with that, to do whatever it is that she wants to do. This other one who wants to stay outside and pull your attention away from your life and your practice and what you're doing, and follow her into these kind of dark places, I'm pretty convinced at this point that's not an actual personality.
No, it really didn't. It was great to read what you wrote and then listen to it and have it just follow kind of what you had said. And it also seemed like it could give me insight into how I leave center in general. I leave center if I get enough, a conflict with my partner, or like there are times I leave center and go out from center. And it's like it could be helpful in noticing that too. You know, I heard it in the recording. I just heard it happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say to you that the way you describe practice, the way you talk about how you approach it is really excellent. You know, going with the mentor and listening to the mentor say, you know, you don't have to worry about writing. You're not writing right now. And then you stay with that. This whole thing about not leaving center, and using the information that you get and the tools you get in such a straightforward kind of way is really powerful. Because what happens to a lot of people is they'll hear a teaching, and then it just slowly, you know, slides over there into the imaginary hands of karmic conditioning and self-hate, and the conversation starts. Well, you know, what about that? And what about, yeah, but how do you, but what do you, and that's the only thing that makes practice hard or confusing. You know, if we just stay with the thing that we're practicing with, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
So you got a good technique going.
Well, thank you for all. I mean, I really have this tremendous gratitude for you and everyone in the email class, and all of Sangha, you know, and the work that you do. But also, towards the end of the email class, my goodness, I need to get off the phone and give someone else a chance. But I had moments of comparing my, because I'm trying to not worry about what I'm writing, and I started thinking like, God, everyone's writing such great stuff, you know. And I was like, well, how lucky is that? I don't even have to worry about what I'm writing. I just try to communicate something, because what a great deal! No matter what I write, I'm going to get to read amazing stuff. How cool is that?
Yes.
You know.
Yes, and it did get extraordinary. Well, I mean, I still have 7 pages of response. So it's not over yet, but it has gotten truly magnificent here toward the end. You guys who are staying with it, it's extraordinary. And back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, everything that everybody contributes is meaningful for everybody else. You know, especially at this point, the people who went through the class in the first place and then stayed on for the extension of the class. I mean, these are people who are really doing the work. So whatever they're contributing is going to be a tremendous gift to everybody else, because we're practicing at this really powerful level. And it doesn't mean that everybody's at the same level. You know, we have people who stayed on for this second part of the class who I suspect came to practice for the first time for the November part of the email class. And they have stayed on. And so they don't have the practice under their belt that a lot of people in that class have, but they're still working at a really deep level. And so their contribution is just as powerful, you know, whether they've been doing this for 2 months or it's somebody who's been doing it for 15 years. So it's a pretty remarkable, in fact, it's an extraordinarily remarkable thing to participate in, and I too feel the gratitude. I feel extraordinarily blessed and lucky to be able to practice with a group of people like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. So I appreciate all the time. I took some extra time tonight, so I feel a lot of gratitude for that.
It's a pleasure.
I thank you. Thank you, Michael, and just
take
a big care. Show to Sangha.
Yeah, yes, God, so to Sangha. There we have it. All right.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
You are the light of the world. So shine, shine, shine where you are.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open-air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Beth.
Well,
hello.
Good evening, Beth. How
are
you?
I've been trying for at least 8 weeks to get on.
Gracious goodness. Well, I'm glad you made it.
I'm curious how these people get on. Well, that's enough. Okay, things are getting hard.
Things what?
I have to admit, I've gotten into this like this place of just listening to the radio show, and I've given up hope of ever getting on. So I finally.
And just at the time when you gave up all hope, here you are.
That's how it happens.
It does. So tell me what's going on in practice and life and like that.
Okay. Well, right now, a lot of energy is coming up.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like I've just been kind of a little bit, I can see that I was feeling a bit daisy, and now it's like focused and I'm on the spot and absolutely nothing's coming up to talk about.
Uh-huh. So how's practice?
I've got some really strong things that I've been doing for a long time that are kind of habitual, and those mm-hmm. are a godsend. One of the first things I did is, like 10 years ago, set up my work as working meditation. I don't have any choice anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I go to work and I, you know, in a kind of a meditative state. And I'm incredibly grateful to that, because things that are under my choice, under my not always so skillful.
Mm-hmm.
Like the recording and listening.
That's not going so well?
It's hard. I have no trouble recording. Listening back, it's hard.
What's hard?
Well, it's so unattractive. Just listening to my voice. It's kind of...
who doesn't like your voice?
Yes, my conditioning.
Yeah, don't own
it. My self-hatred.
Don't own it. It's just conditioning and self-hatred. It has nothing to do with you except it sucks the life energy out of you. Yeah? And so it doesn't want you to hear anything that's going to help and support you.
Yes. Yes. Particularly in my own voice.
Yes. That's exactly right. So if it can cut you off from you in that way, then it's made great strides toward keeping you separate and alone and only in relationship with it.
Yes, it's configuration. So it just feels so real.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what it has set up is that you don't have access to the mentor.
Mm. Yes.
And so picture this one, okay? Picture this one. Through the magic of whatever, you in fact, you know, the Buddha has come to live with you for a while. And you know, the Buddha has a lot of wise things to say, but has this really annoying voice. And so what you say is, you know, Buddha, I really appreciate that, but God, I can't stand to hear you talk.
Yeah. Yep.
There you go.
It feels highly audacious.
Something tells me that you're not going to fall for that old con quite as readily in the future as you have in the past.
Again and yet again.
You're going to make a choice in the opposite direction again and yet again, I hope.
There seems to be something in me that keeps showing up.
Yes. It's called authenticity. That which you're seeking is causing you to seek.
That which you are seeking is causing you to seek. Ha!
So I would encourage you to get into relationship with that. It has a lot better information for you. But, of course, you will have to listen to it. And it will come in your own voice.
It seems that a lot of what keeps getting pointed to is that it's not real.
Right. The world that you live in, I can guarantee, is not real.
Yeah, and I keep stopping at that. That's kind of the thing that I get caught in again and yet again pretty much every morning, is that it's real.
Yes.
That I'm having these conflicts, that I'm, you know, Marcella's just knowing, you know, it's just, there's all this stuff that's wrong.
Yes. And so it's, you know, if you had, every time you turned on the television, it played the same show. And in fact, you don't ever have to turn it off because it just plays the same show 24 hours a day. And it's really compelling, even though it's repetitious. I mean, at this point, you could say all the lines that all the characters are going to say. But it's so compelling that really, there's no reason to leave that chair right there in front of that television and just watch that show 24 hours a day. Same dialogue, same scenery, same everything.
Yes.
That's what it's like for people to live in conditioned
mind. It's been the same for 47 years.
Say what?
It's been the same story for 47 years.
Yes. Exactly.
It may put on a different dress, but it's the same story.
Yes. Well, and even the dress doesn't change very much. The sets can remain pretty much the same. Yeah. And people don't notice because it's such a habit, and it's so compelling. And, of course, it's not compelling. The only reason it's compelling is that it's the story of karmic conditioning, and it never gets tired of that rerun.
So kind of the willingness is the key, and it's if I'm willing to wake up and end suffering or am I willing to stay in the karmic habit.
That's exactly right. And it really is as simple and straightforward as that.
Simple not always being easy. But then again, it's easy. It actually is.
It actually is. It's much easier. It's much easier not to suffer than to suffer.
It's amazing how filled with doubt I am about that.
Well, if that's the case, then what you can know is you are identified with karmic conditioning. Because when we're looking out of the eyes of karmic conditioning...
That's not something to be taken seriously.
Pardon me?
And that's not something to be taken seriously.
Well, when you're looking out through its eyes, when it has taken you over, and you're looking at life through it, then its world seems real and right and interesting and compelling and dangerous to leave. And
likes watching that one TV show again and yet again.
Would sit there until it died. Well, sit there until you died, actually. It's not going to. Yeah. Yeah. So the choice, you know, it really is pretty straightforward. You know, do I want to keep listening to that? Do I want to keep believing that? Or do I want to make a different choice? And as you well know, in Buddhism, we're fond of saying, we'll do it when we've suffered enough. Person smokes for 70 years. And the doctor says, if you don't quit that, you're going to be dead in 3 months. Amazingly, for the first time, the person's able to quit smoking.
Wow. Yeah,
so
and actually, I remember quitting smoking.
When the stakes are high enough, people will do what they need to do. So it's just depending on us when we've decided the stakes are high enough.
The one tool that I have found a great deal of delight in the mornings when I forget or get too busy, just don't go so well, is the daily recollection.
Yes.
I've been saying
it
every
thing.
Morning for 10 years, and, well, most mornings. And I'm becoming increasingly more grateful to it.
Yeah. Yep, it's great. It's a wonderful thing. You know, listening to the radio show when you're working is a great thing.
Yes.
Listening to your recordings while you're working is a great thing.
I have promised, and that actually does get me to the recorder.
Good. Yeah, because it's, you know, 90% of it, if not more, not a higher percentage, is ceasing to listen to those reruns in the head. That's what's required, because as long as that thing is just droning on, that's the reality that a person tends to live in.
Yes.
So we have to do an interrupt.
My Tuesday night radio show, you know, whether I get on or not, is another great habit.
Yes, and 10,000 hours of podcasts.
Yes, yes.
Which is just very much like going to a group on a retreat.
I actually do actively listen to them while I work. So I have actually listened to all the archive.
Time to start again.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, listen for your voice on them.
Oh, I hate them.
And then be delighted. Be delighted when you hear it. Okay? This is really key. This is really key. Because the innocence, the authenticity in you, who you really are, will be delighted by the sound of your voice. And karmic conditioning, self-hate, will despise it. So you can know who's there and who's listening by the response.
And there's nothing to do about it.
Well, I would make a commitment for innocence.
Ha. Okay.
Okay. And so what you do is you listen until you recognize innocent authenticity is there listening. And then you'll know what that feels like.
I think I'm going to need to listen to this one again just to be able to hear that.
Good. Good. That's a good thing. Okay?
That
you start
is,
listening
yes.
to those recordings. You start listening to those recordings, and you listen from the perspective of what the voice is saying about listening to your voice. You listen to that. Listen to what the voice is saying in your head as you're listening to that voice. Just a voice. It's just a voice. And that voice in your head is going crazy, trying to get you to stop listening to it, trying to get you to believe that it's hideous and disgusting and horrible, and you should hate it and never do it. And it's going to occur to you that this is a lot of worked up over something like a human voice. Okay? And you just keep listening, and you just keep listening until finally you touch into the part who is delighted to hear her voice. Then you're home. Then you practice being there.
And all I'm left with is thank you.
Okay. Then keep me posted.
Thank you,
okay.
Sherry.
Thank you. Good night, Beth.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 3 minutes left here, and we have another caller.
All right. Well, we'll just do our best.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Goodness. This is Russell calling out of Atlanta. I think this thing said I'm unmuted.
Yes. Hello, Russell.
No kidding. Ah,
now
3 minutes.
We have 3 minutes, and if we don't make it, we'll get Michael to do some sort of technological magic so that we get to talk again before long. So what's going on?
Just enjoying practicing with Marie and the little group in Athens. Actually, I was driving up last night. It's about a 45-minute drive for me, so I was just doing some listening on the way up, and I was listening to your tape. I had recorded from some segments from the Fear book, and after the email class, I got shot with a jolt of worry that's kind of body slammed me. So I'm kind of realizing here on the way up that this worry is probably actually similar to fear. Am I reading that?
Yeah. And is there content with it, or is it just kind of vague feelings of worry?
It's mostly vague feelings of worry, Sherry. It's I'll have to study that and see if there is some content around that though.
Yeah. So, but right now it feels more like a process. So I feel sensations that I call worry in my body, and it's nervous and kind of anxious and uncomfortable and that sort of thing. And then probably it scans around and it finds some content to grab onto, and then I can worry about that for a while.
Right.
It definitely
goes like that and around money and in terms of being in business for myself. And things got kind of quiet and sparkly during the Time to Feel Good email class in November. So I'm kind of thinking, you know, this extra jolt of worry may be kind of conditioning reasserting itself, and
uh-huh.
I'm thinking there might be something in that too.
Yep, a little backlash going on.
Little backlash, but
yeah.
it's been quite strong though, which has been kind of surprising. Well, you know, there was also the class in the follow up class after, there was this, what kind of behaviors can you bring in that can cause a change of consciousness? So if this worry is a form of resistance, what can I do to bring about acceptance around this worry? Can you give me some coaching in that direction?
Yeah. So because clearly this is new. This is not something that's gone on all your life and it's just kind of worse now, or it's back now, or that sort of thing. It sounds like it's pretty new for you.
Or that I'm just taking notice of it since I'm actually working with these processes now.
Uh-huh. Okay, now where do you feel it most in your body?
It would be chest solar plexus area.
Okay. And do you notice anything, like, do you drink coffee? Does it does it come up more at certain times during the day? Anything situational that you notice about it?
I've cut out most of the heavy caffeine after listening to some of the archives and some other people's experiences around caffeine. So, you know, some of the teas I may drink may have caffeine in it. I'll have to take a look at that.
But not enough that it would be affecting this. And how about different times during the day? Is it do you worry about a presentation or a meeting or a phone call or that sort of thing and that kicks it in? Or is it just a general kind of what if the business fails?
Well, it, all of the above. And sometimes it even smacks me when I'm sleeping. So that's where this R&L comes in handy because that really breaks those voices up when I'm sleeping and lets me get some rest, really.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so you are you're recording and listening a lot, it sounds like.
Pretty much every day, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Then I would do it more. And I would do some very specific kinds of recordings along the lines of I choose peace and calm. I don't know if you've heard us talk about that, but you say that,
sure.
And then you have a little break, and so that you say it to yourself in your head. Okay.
Okay.
I feel my body relaxing, and you can do, you know, a whole, you know, I feel my neck relaxing. I feel the tension draining out of my shoulders. I feel my stomach relaxing. I feel my solar plexus letting go. I'm breathing into my body and feeling my body relax. And do that. Make that recording as long as you can make it. Embellishing that in any way that feels comfortable to you. And then every chance that you get, listen to it. So if work is such, is your work the kind of thing where you could listen during the day?
I can. I mean, to some degree. I mean, in transport back and forth to where I'm working, yes, I can.
Okay. So that's what you want to do. And then if you have a lunch break, if you're, you know, whenever you have an opportunity, be listening to that. And until you are spending a lot of your attention on helping your body to relax. Because you cannot simultaneously have your attention on your head worrying and your body relaxing.
Okay.
So that would be my first encouragement. And so do that, and then let me know what happens, and we'll come up with the next step.
Okay, 10-4, I'll do that.
All right, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for taking my call. So, okay, thank you, Sherry.
Okay.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I'm very grateful and privileged.
Me too. Me too.
Yes.
Feeling love. Living in God's show.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon. Good night, Michael.
Good night.